Now let's continue on in Ezekiel 14, because this tells us a great deal. And now remember, this occurred already when Jerusalem was destroyed. And remember, what I want you to do is this. I want you to read, I've asked you this before, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, read them again. Now when you're done with that, then read the Lamentations written by Jeremiah, because he saw all of this take place when Jerusalem fell and they were carried off in captivity to Babylon. And then ask yourself the question, since we are Israel today, is not the same thing going to happen because we're rejecting God? See? Now let's come back here to Ezekiel 14. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in verse 7. Now notice how God does this. And every one of the house of Israel, now that's inclusive, isn't it? Don't you think everyone means every individual? Yes, indeed. Or the stranger who lives in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to a prophet to ask of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. Now notice how he's going to answer. He isn't going to talk to you. He's going to answer you with deeds. Verse 8, I will set my face against that man, and I will make him for a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Come back here to Romans 3. Because I want to cover something here that's also important, because people say, well, how will God do that? Why will God do that? How can God be a God of love if he's going to do that? Well, why do you sin? Why do people sin? What should God do about it? After all, who created you, who gave you life, who gave you breath, who has created everything in the world to keep you sustained, but God. And people tell God, get out of my life. I don't believe your commandments. I don't want you around. I won't do these things. Or if you have a religion, you change what God says so you'll be comfortable. Isn't that nice? All right, Romans 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 3. But what if some did not believe? Now it's talking about the Jews who should have believed. Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? Can a human being nullify anything that God does? No, not really. Says verse 4, may it never be. Rather let God be true, but every man a liar. And that means every woman too, because man is in the word woman, isn't it not? Yes, indeed. Exactly as it is written. Now here is what every human being does. Okay? And I want to ask you a question. Do you do this to God? Let's read it. Exactly as it is written, that you might be justified in your words, because God is always right, and might overcome when you are being judged by men. Men judge God, varying degrees, don't they? So when God brings his wrath, they say, why would God do this? Well, when God blessed you, why did you live in your sins? All right, let's read it here. Do you judge God? God is always right. But if our unrighteousness brings to reality, correction, but if our unrighteousness brings to reality God's righteousness, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous to inflict wrath? A lot of people think he is. God is not fair. God is always fair. I am speaking according to man's point of view. May it never be. Otherwise, how shall God judge the world? Since beginning with Adam and Eve, men have said, God, go away. We don't want you here. So God goes away. He left his word so men would know what they should do. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to teach the truth and the spiritual relationship with God and the way to salvation and life. But men want to come along and have a different Jesus. They want to modify what he says. They want to have an easy gospel so they'll have numbers in their churches rather than wondering how many are converted or if they really are or not. See? Now that's why we've done the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And I think we're going to see how absolutely important that book is, not only for reaching new people in the world, but also for people in the churches of God, because too many are in a total spiritual stupor, not understanding what they're doing or where they're going. They just like zombies come to Sabbath services. And they've been so dumbed down that they don't know how to use the scriptures to make a proper judgment. Now, let's see what God says here. Okay, let's see what he says. Verse 8. I will set my face against that man. I will make him for a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And a prophet, if he's deceived and he speaks a word, because you have to rightly handle the word of God. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And since the main one on the chopping block today is Harold Camping, there you are. You're deceived of God because you mishandled his word, you misinterpreted his word, you lied, you didn't believe Jesus Christ, you didn't believe God the Father, you didn't believe the things that are in the Bible. You came in and you cherry-picked what you want for your own idolatrous beliefs and caused people to believe that and now have created more contempt and hatred for God. Every other prophet or minister who does likewise shall also suffer the same consequences. Let's go on. Here's what God says. You want to speak for God what he never spoke? You want to say God said something when he never said it? God says, and I, notice, God says himself, I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him who seeks after him. So everyone who goes along with it has the same punishment. Question, are you mature enough to handle this? What happened with the churches of God? What happened to the church of God that exalted itself and the leaders exalted themselves and the ministers exalted themselves and sin was rampant? Church of God had three campuses, income of $200 million a year. What did God do with it? He set his face against it and he destroyed it. Did he not? Now, maybe you've survived. But do you really believe God? See? Where are you in it? That's what we need to ask ourselves here. Okay? All right. Verse 11. The reason that God does this, and the reason that we have problems and difficulties in our lives, is so that we will seek God, not a lying prophet who misuses the word of God. So that the house of Israel may never again go astray from me, nor be defiled with all their transgressions, but they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God. That's what God wants. Is that what you want? How are we going to face the times that are coming ahead? Some of you are already facing them. Some of you are already in the midst of it. Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn away from God? What is it that you're going to do? What is it that I'm going to do? See? Now let's continue. Verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me. Now, I want you to get out of globe. Look at the whole globe. And if you're on the internet, look at the disasters that are in the world. And realize that God has a hand in punishment so that there may be repentance. And that punishment will be for absolute destruction unless they turn to God. Now, God may be raising up certain nations as punishment in his hand against us, and it's going to come. But you know, the people in Jerusalem, even after two invasions by Nebuchadnezzar, the prophets were saying, we'll have peace. All the implements of the temple will come back. Nebuchadnezzar's going to send them back. The prophets were saying, all of you who are left here, you're good, fine people. You're not going into captivity. And so what happened? You read Josephus about the destruction of Jerusalem in 586, 585 BC. Death, famine, cannibalism. Let's read it. If a land sins against me by transgressing grievously, I will stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of bread. Now you think about the weather we have had here in America, other places in the world. We're going to have food shortages. And send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver only their own lives by their righteousness, says the Lord. Okay, so how are we standing before God? Are we repenting every day, yielding to God? Are we looking at the world and saying, oh, Lord, this is a terrible situation. Look at the churches of God and pray for them. This is pitiful. What the churches of God are going through is absolutely pitiful. And here we're supposed to be the light of the world. Need to think upon those things, right? Verse 15. If I cause wild beasts to come through the land, and they spoil it, and it becomes desolate so that no man may pass because of the beasts. Though these three men were in the midst, as I live, says the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons or daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Okay, now we need to understand those days have happened. They're going to come again. That's what we're looking at. Look at the map of the United States. We have flooding. We have drought. We have heat. We have cold. We have blasting, tornadoes. And the hurricane season is just starting. We have mildew and rot. So how can we sit back and think, oh, Lord, we're in good shape? Let's read on. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, look at what's happening to Mexico. Is the sword going through the land? Just south of the border, is the sword coming over on our side of the border? Yes, it is. And I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I may cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. All right, so we've got famine, we've got pestilence, we have war. Okay? Well, let's read verse 19. And let's ask the question, do we really believe God here? See? And remember, even though God loves us, he corrects us. And even though God loves the world, that doesn't mean he's not going to judge the world, because we are being judged all the time. Not just judgment day today, as Harold Camping has said. No, judgment is every day. That's why we need to have a right relationship with God, that we are judged in love and understanding, in help and intervention by God and his Spirit in our lives. Now, verse 19. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury in it in blood to cut off man and beast, sickness, disease, we're all set for it. Here in America, in the modern world, we've piled our lives and our bodies full of all kinds of things that when circumstances change, it sets it right off in the body. And the way that they are doing with modifying food, destroying food, there are going to be famines and pestilence and things that, and what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Famines, pestilence, right? What are we reading of here? Okay, right here. Yes, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall only deliver their own lives by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four judgments against Jerusalem, The sword? Do we have war? The famine? It is coming. The destroying beast? It's coming. And the pestilence? It is coming to cut off man and beast from it. Yet, behold, there shall be left a remnant in it that shall be brought out, both sons and daughters. And we're supposed to be that remnant, brethren. Behold, they shall come out to you, and when you shall see their ways and their doings, then you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought on Jerusalem for all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done that I have not done without cause all that I have done, says the Lord. Okay, so God says he's going to do it. So look at that. Need to understand that. That's why it's such a horrible thing when we have false prophets like Harold Camping out there. Okay? Now let's come to 2 Peter, the second chapter. There are some things we need to be doing, things we need to be understanding. How much does the Word of God mean to you? Do you pray every day? Do you study every day? Do you cry out to God every day? What is it that you do? Or you, do you just come to Sabbath services with a glad hand every Sabbath? Is that the way you believe God? All right, let's come back here to 2 Peter, let's come to the third chapter here, okay? 2 Peter, the third chapter, okay? All right, okay. Now, when he wrote this, he was in Babylon and knew that he was going to die. Peter was never in Rome. It says, "Now, beloved, I'm writing the second epistle to you. In both, I'm stirring up your pure minds by causing you to remember." Because the human nature is prone to forget. "In order for you to be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets," we just read some of them, didn't we? "And of the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by us, the apostles, knowing this first, that in the last days there shall come mockers." That's what we have now. They mock God with false prophets, false prophecies. They mock God because they're atheists who retaliate against the false prophets. But here's what they're doing: walking according to their own personal lusts. And we're going to hear this more than ever before now. And asking, "Where is the promise of his coming?" That's what they're going to be asking Harold Camping, right? Where is it? Didn't happen. You said it would. Absolutely, it's going to. But it didn't. "For ever since the forefathers died, everything has remained the same from the beginning of creation. But this fact is hidden from them, they themselves choosing to ignore it, that the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens existed of old, and the earth came forth of water and amid water, by which the world at that time, having been deluged with water, had itself been destroyed." Now stop and think about it. What did Jesus say of our day today? "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Right? People are not paying attention. Can you imagine what happened, what those people were trying to do when Noah and his family and all the animals were all locked up in the ark by God? Then it started to rain, and rain and rain and rain and rain. And those who didn't believe God, I don't know how many were able to get to the ark and start banging on the side of the ark before it was lifted up by the waters. But you can imagine, they were scrambling for the highest point they could get, right? They were trying to get all their little boats or whatever would float so they could get through it, right? All the human effort that was expended to try and save themselves. So God had it rain 40 days and 40 nights. He opened up the windows of heaven. He broke up the fountains of the deep. And the water came gushing in deluge. And as we saw with the tsunami in Japan, when they showed the pictures, There isn't a single thing you're going to do when that water's coming. Did it wipe out everything? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So here's what's going to happen, verse 7. But the present heavens and earth are being held in store by his word and are being reserved for fire in the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So that day is coming, okay? Now, then he talks about don't be worried about time. Now, I read a book that was written in 1918, and it was a Sunday keeper, and he says that there are 6,000 years for mankind, okay? How many times have you heard that? Well, we're past the 6,000 years because no one knows the time or the day. Isn't that correct? All right, let's go on. Beloved, do not let this one fact be hidden with you, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not delaying the promise of his coming, as some in their minds may reckon delay. Rather, he's long-suffering toward us, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. However, now he's talking about the final day of the Lord, in which the earth is going to be transformed for the new heavens and new earth. However, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven itself shall disappear with a mighty roar, and the elements shall pass away, burning with intense heat, and the earth and the works in it shall be burned up. So that day's coming. We have the millennium in between and all of that sort of thing, but that day's coming. So here's the warning to us, verse 11. Since all these things are going to be destroyed, what kind of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? How should we live our lives? Looking forward to and striving for the coming of the day of God, during which the heavens being on fire shall be destroyed, and the elements burning with intense heat shall melt. But according to his promise, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So that's where we need to be focused, see? For this reason, beloved, since you are anticipating these things, be diligent. Are you diligent? Are you continuing? Are you faithful? So that you may be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. Okay, then he talks about the difficult scriptures, the Apostle Paul. Come over here to the book of Jude. Let's see what we need to be doing. Okay? Book of Jude. Here's what God wants us to do. Now, we're living in a time when the Word of God and Christianity, as the world views Christianity, is being attacked evermore, evermore, evermore. Whenever we have false prophets come along and give things like just recently happened, and here we are, let's see, it's right now a little after 11 o'clock Pacific time on the Sabbath in the morning, okay? Nothing has happened. It's not going to happen in the way that Harold Camping said, and we know that. But the day is going to come when these things will occur. So here's what we need to do, okay? Because we're also living in a time where we've got to stand for the truth, stand for righteousness, do what is right, and realize that the world is absolutely inspired of Satan the devil to tear down and destroy everything there is concerning Christianity. Why do you think that these false prophets are raised up by Satan? For the very purpose of destroying whatever Christianity that people see. That's why. Now, we can't let it happen to us. So Jude writes, verse 3, Beloved, when personally exerting all my diligence to write to you concerning the common salvation, I was compelled to write you, just impressed by God on his mind, exhorting you to fervently fight for the faith, not fight among each other. See? Fight for the faith, which was once for all time has been delivered to the saints. And now we're going to see this come again. I can tell you for sure it's coming again. Verse 4 is going to happen again within the churches of God. For certain men have stealthily crept in. Why does God allow them to creep in? Because of the sins of the brethren and the ministers, that's why. And so just like there's punishment in the world, there's punishment in the church. They have crept in. Those who long ago have been written about, condemning them to this judgment, they are ungodly men who are perverting the grace of our God, turning it into licentiousness, and are personally denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can be guaranteed that many of the beliefs that destroyed because of sin, the largest church of God in our memory, those same men fled to another church, and now is their time to do it again. And it's going to come. And unless you are aware and know the Word of God and have a relationship with God, you're going to get caught unawares and you're not going to know what is happening. And if that happens, how many people will leave God because they deny God in their personal relationship by being satisfied with what men have told them? Time will tell. So yes, we're living in difficult and terrible times. We need to understand that. God will see us through it. God will help us with it. God will strengthen us with His Spirit, because God does love us. And whatever correction we have to endure as we go along, we need to repent and change and overcome and ask God to help us out of it. And so that's where we are today. Harold Camping's May 21st was a total failure because it wasn't from God. So let's make sure that we're right with God. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.